First reading is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. The prophet Isaiah hopes for a royal leader who will restore peace and harmony between human beings and animals. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Luke 1:76 to 79. Zechariah prophesies that his son, John the Baptist, will prepare the way for Jesus, who will bring light, life, and peace. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace.
This reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 24 to 38. The angel Gabriel brings the joyful news that Mary will give birth to the Son of God. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6th month. for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
This reading comes from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Here God shows his love for us by sending his Son into the world so that we might love one another. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Let the earth be fruitful and bring forth a saviour. Welcome to Advent. It's the first day of the church's new year, and we have entered the season of Advent. And I have my Advent calendar with chocolate all ready to have at the end of the service. I bought the grandchildren ones with no chocolate, but I've got chocolate. Advent is a time of joyful expectation and quiet reflection. And that may be the opposite of what you're feeling this morning. Advent can feel overwhelming with interminable present buying and wrapping and delivering, rushing around seeing people that you could have seen at other times in the year. It can also be a time of sorrow and loss as we remember loved ones who won't be here this Christmas, a time of financial pressure and a time of loneliness. Advent is the Latin word meaning arrival, someone or something is turning up. Someone is coming to meet us. At Advent, we prepare to meet Christ at Christmas. We marvel at the mystery that God took on a human form in Jesus, that he was born in humble circumstances, that his birth changed the course of human history. We think about Jesus as a baby born in the past. At Advent, we remember that Jesus said he would return in glory to usher in the life of the world to come and complete his new creation. We think about Christ coming again in the future as judge and king. But Advent's not just about past wondrous events and Christian future hopes. It's about the here and the now. It's about Christ coming to us anew each Christmas. It's about what we're doing now, not about what we will do at the time of the second coming. So how do we renew our faith in Jesus? What do we do? What do we have to do to be true disciples of Christ? It's not always about doing. Sometimes it's just receiving. We've had a stewardship campaign this autumn where we've asked you to share your gifts of money, your practical help, your time, your help spiritually. But Advent, this Advent, we're not asking you to do anything. We're asking you to sit and to receive the gifts that Christ brings us at Advent, at Christmas. So at Christmas, we sing the carol, "What can I bring him, poor as I am?" And the answer is, my heart. So in this season of Advent, let us bring our heart to receive the gifts from Jesus, gifts that last through Advent, Christmas, and into the new year, unlike the many gifts we're about to receive. And they're the gifts of hope, of peace, of joy, and of love. These gifts form and nurture us. They sustain us and they support us in all seasons. And Jesus has promised to bring them to us. So the gift of hope. It's a terrible thing to be without hope. Ask anyone who volunteers on the Samaritan helpline. The Israelites knew that feeling of being without hope. Against a backdrop of exile and dissension, the prophet Isaiah hopes for a new Messiah, a royal king, who will bring peace and harmony, not just between human beings, but also peace in the animal kingdom. Jesus is our hope. At Advent, we look forward to the coming of Jesus, who is our long-expected Saviour. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, who promises to be with us no matter what trials, temptations, or pain we suffer in our journey through life. Jesus, who brings the hope of a new kingdom on earth that includes everyone from every nation, where all are loved and forgiven. Jesus, who promises us the hope of eternal life through his death and resurrection. Our hope is in a Saviour who comes to set us free from our fears and our sins, free to be the children of God, to shine in a world of darkness. Jesus says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise it up at the last day." And peace. Peace feels elusive this Advent. It seems so difficult to get ceasefires to hold, for civil wars to end, for conflicts to cease. And yet peace is what we all crave in our hearts, in our communities, in our world. Zechariah, in our second reading, the father of John the Baptist, recognized the role that Mary's child would play, that Jesus would shine on those living in darkness and guide their feet into the path of peace. Jesus is our peace. His purpose is to create one humanity, to end division, and to reconcile us to God. He preached peace to the world, not hatred. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And the gift of joy. We long for a joy that outlives the temporary pleasures of Christmas presents and the festivities. And in the third reading, Elizabeth expresses her joy that she has found favour with God and is expecting a child. Mary, her cousin, does not immediately express joy, I would say, at Joel Gabriel's message, but she graciously consents, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then she sings her song of joy, the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Jesus is our joy. He wants us to experience the joy of knowing our sins are forgiven, the joy of knowing we are unconditionally loved by God, and the joy of knowing that we will have an eternal life with him after we leave this earthly body. The joy Jesus offers is not fleeting, but enduring and life-giving. Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And finally, the gift of love. Love is a basic human need. In the letter from John, John describes how God loved us first. God sent his Son to take away the sins which prevent us from being reconciled to God. Jesus is our love. As we have received the gift of love, we must give love to others, not just to those who love us, but to those who hate us too, which, as I think we all know, is pretty difficult. The Advent celebration reminds us of the slow transformation of the world by God's love. But we have been formed to become people who can overcome hatred with love, destruction with care. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." So as we journey through these busy days of Advent, waiting in queues, listening to Muzak carols endlessly, getting tireder and tireder, let us pause through the day to reflect and pray about what Jesus brings to us, what he means to us in our daily lives. Whatever gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love you are longing for, Jesus is longing to give it to you now. Now, not just as a fleeting Christmas present. So I'd like to end with a prayer. And although it seems counterintuitive at the beginning of Advent to look at the cross, I think the cross encapsulates our four gifts. Let us pray. Look up at the hope of Jesus' resurrection. Look down to see yourself grounded in Jesus' love for you. Look to the left to see the joy of a hand outstretched to receive Jesus' gifts. Look right to show the world your hand prays for Jesus' peace. And may Christ bless us with these gifts to serve his kingdom in this world and the next.